Hi, this is Warwick Davis, and you're listening to the 5E Filibuster.
To this exciting installment of the Friday Filibuster. I am Judge David Johnson, joined by such luminaries as Judge Eric Aschberschlager.
I'm on fire!
And Judge Mike Rubino.
I'm as bright as the stars.
Who joins us after like a four-month hiatus, I believe.
Yeah, the prodigal son has returned.
You were on sabbatical, correct? I believe. Is that what you
Yeah, yeah. Well, my life just, you know, went insane. Insanely busy.
Sure. And, right?
Yeah, and a good kind of busy. Unfortunately, that's been cutting into my podcast time, but here I am.
Could you report on any of the exciting shenanigans going on in your life right now?
Yeah, well, I'm getting a play produced.
That's exciting.
That's the big exciting thing. One of the big exciting things. So I've been going to rehearsals and things like that.
So are you giving like creative input and stuff?
You know, a little bit here and there. It's a one act. It's part of a New Works one act festival here in Pittsburgh.
And Pittsburgh is like the cultural center of the world, apparently.
It really is. It is. Actually, this is the 20th year for this festival. So it's sort of a national fest. Like they get submissions from all across the country. So I'm pretty excited. You know, a couple more weeks of rehearsal before it goes up. But yeah, it's going well. And so, yeah, I've been very busy with that, very busy with some other things that I don't want to comment on.
Oh, okay.
Not yet.
Cryptic.
Eventually I'll talk about it.
Cryptic.
But, yeah, and I will say that I've been mentally preparing myself for tomorrow evening, which is going to be the Rush concert.
Yes, or yesterday evening, perhaps.
Yesterday evening, that's right.
Yeah. Has this been on your calendar for a while?
Yes.
Have you been like pinpointed this like, for a long time?
Well, yeah. Like as soon as they announced it, because they're coming to the Penguins brand new arena, and as soon as they announced it and tickets went on sale, I bought them like the day the tickets went on sale.
Oh, wait, look who it is, Michael.
Oh no!
Didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's Michael Stewart. The big banana, the big shot, the number one.
Big banana?
I was just thinking second banana and big kahuna. So, big banana, now.
Top, I think top banana works.
Top banana.
Big yellow joint? What?
Yeah,
Don Knotts coming later in the show. Watch out.
So, anyway, Mike Staley, welcome. Mike Rubino was just regaling us of his much-anticipated Rush concert happening tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, yeah. So it's a good thing we're recording this ahead of time, because after tomorrow night, I might not be able to speak.
What is young Mike Rubino like at a concert of this magnitude? Are you just all id?
I don't know. Well, I've never – this is the reason this is important is because I've never seen them before.
Oh, wow. Okay.
This will be my first – I missed them when they were here like 2 years ago. So and prior to that, I did not go see them. So this is like the first time I'm going to be seeing them, and we've got pretty good seats.
Wow.
And they're playing all of Moving Pictures in its entirety, which is their big album. So I'm really really excited.
So are you a fan of the second half of Moving Pictures? I have to admit that I kind of stop after YYZ. I like all of them, but once it gets to like Witch Hunt, I'm kind of out.
Yeah. I love I enjoy it. Witch Hunt, that's I think the weakest song on there, but Vital Signs is I enjoy a lot, and The Camera Eye I really like.
Vital Signs is on Moving Pictures? That's not Permanent Waves?
No, Vital Signs is the last track of Moving Pictures.
Ah, see? He's right, I'm guessing. I actually got confused there.
I'm looking at my iTunes right now. I'm like,
oh, that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm more of an early Rush fan, as you know. Mike and I occasionally have Rush conversations.
Apparently.
I will listen to their entire catalog, even the synth dressed, drenched 80s stuff. Yeah, I'm expecting a full smattering of it tomorrow.
Oh, very good. Oh, sounds like you're just a busy little bee.
I am so busy.
Wow, Dave, I love the way you've kind of denigrated everything he's done, both by calling the production of his one-act play a shenanigan, and now kind of casually referring to him as a busy little bee.
What have you been up to, Mr. Staley? What tales of action and suspense can you regale us with?
what you have all seen, what we're working on for the redesign. So you
yeah, it looks super sexy.
Yeah.
Hey, did you accidentally click through to a porn site by any chance?
Yeah.
It looks good. I don't know if, you know, I wasn't turned on by.
Yeah.
It's awesome. But
yeah, it's.
Just checking.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just. I was trying to think of something to say that wasn't roaringly inappropriate, but I got it. So,
I pushed you up to the edge, so sorry,
you
Mike.
Did, are you so, Mike? Are you and Melissa pretty excited about the direction the design is heading?
Yeah, we're getting there. I mean, we still have a whole bunch of things we need to work out, so we're still about what, maybe 6 weeks out.
That's pretty good. That's pretty close.
It is.
Yeah.
It's got
Other stuff. I have seen Woody Allen's latest movie, When You Meet a Tall Dark Stranger, and Michael, I hate to say it, but it's not one of his better films.
You know, you're not the first. I mean, I've read some reviews that have said as such. So,
yeah. In this case, Anthony Hopkins is playing the Woody Allen character, so he's kind of a senior citizen going through his end of life crisis, or whatever you want to call it. And he leaves his wife, and he starts dating a hooker, and then marries a hooker, and I don't know. And then there's another subplot that has Josh Brolin and Naomi Watts as a husband and wife who are struggling with their relationship, and it's just, you didn't really like these people very much.
Mm.
Some of the performances, Hopkins is great. I mean, it's great to see him do comedy, and he does it very well. Frida Pinto from Slumdog Millionaire plays Josh Brolin's semi-love interest as he's cheating on his wife. And she's absolutely adorable. There's a weird voiceover narration that doesn't really fit. It's very haphazard and not quite what we all expect from a Woody Allen movie.
Yeah, he does sort of lately seem to just throw everything at the wall.
Yeah.
That he's used to throwing at the wall and hoping that some of it sticks. And like one out of three movies is like excellent. And then you have to sit through two others that are
Is somebody sawing something, by the way?
I was scratching my head, and I accidentally scratched my headset.
Okay.
So now that you've...
It sounded like someone had a handsaw was working on, like, a rocking chair or something.
Yeah, now that you figured out that mystery.
I'm building a gun rack, but I'm doing quiet sanding at the moment. You shouldn't hear that. I got a noise-canceling thing, so...
Jeez. The other movie I saw was... it's called Lovely Still with Martin Landau and Ellen Burstyn. It's kind of a holiday movie, and I don't want to say too much about it because it's one of those films that's a... point of view movie, so that you go through the whole film from one point of view, and at the very end it turns it around so you see the film as it actually is from the other characters, it's from one character's point of view, and then you see it from the other character's point of view. It's very tender, very heartfelt. I don't know if it's going to get a wide release. It seems more like an art house picture, but it definitely has Oscar potential for both Martin Landau and Ellen Burstyn. Worth seeing.
You were going with a kind of senior citizen theme there, weren't you? Seen those two movies?
I guess so, yeah.
Nice.
Oddly enough, he watched them both at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's right.
And then went out for the Blue Plane Special.
Followed by a spirited game of shuffleboard. Any other elderly jokes? Any stereotypes?
Forgetting things.
Elderly, good. Ding, ding.
Then he went to the bathroom in his pants.
Oh, he went. Waka, waka. All right. Well, did you offset your senior citizen viewing with, like, I don't know, a Wizards of Waverly Place?
No, I offset it with a Dirty Harry marathon.
Very nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
The Turner Classic Movies was doing all the Dirty Harry, so I DVR'd them and in over 2 days watched them all. So.
Well, here's an awful confession, but I don't think I've ever seen a Dirty Harry movie.
No way. Right?
Yeah, it's awful, isn't it?
You hadn't seen The Man with No Name.
That's right. I hadn't seen that trilogy before. I'm watching Willow for the 10th time. What do you want from me?
You're going to lose your man license here pretty soon.
I mean, let's today with Make It or Break It and Vampire Diaries. He's already teetering up.
We need to have an intervention.
We do need to have an intervention.
This is going to be really hard to do over Skype, but we're going to try.
Yeah, show up my doorstep with like a porterhouse. You know?
Come on, David. You're making me look like a man.
All right. Well, Eric, how about you?
What's the name of my segment again?
Is it old news. Old news with Eric.
Old news. Like... Okay. Yeah. So I've got a couple older movies that I watched this week. Both ones that I'd only seen once. This is my only seen once before a palooza.
And that probably in the theater when they ran, right?
No, No, one was. They're not the two you're thinking of. I know the two you're thinking of, and they're not they. Actually, the other one I just got in the mail yesterday, so I haven't had a chance. But no, the first one was Predator. I'd only seen that once before. Speaking of man card revoking type thing.
There you go. Wow, interesting.
Yeah, it was on. Yeah, I saw that it was on Sci-Fi Channel, so I said, I want to watch that. So I DVR'd it and watched it. And, you know, they obviously cut out the swearing, but I think they kept most of the violence intact.
There Carl Weathers' severed arm shooting a gun.
Yeah, totally. Yes. There's a gooey head explosion, shot at the end. So they, I think they kept most of it. But it was, it's good. It's Predator.
Of course it is.
Yeah. It's pretty good, although I have to admit, like, without having the nostalgia, it kind of only gets good at the end. It's mostly – it was pretty one-sided until then,
Well, it's like – it follows the tried-and-true horror movie slasher formula.
Yeah, yeah, and that works for it. Although, after the very end, I was just flabbergasted by the high school yearbook photo montage at the end.
Excellent, yeah.
What is up with that?
It's excellent.
That is crazy.
What was the other one?
Oh, the other one was...
What could you possibly pair Predator with?
No. The Dark Knight. Finally got to see that again. Got it on cheap Blu-ray. And as I was telling you, Dave, over email, I liked it a lot more this time around. Maybe it was because I could actually hear what people were saying, as opposed to through the crappy sound system of our local theater. But it was fun from beginning to end. And I got the... Christopher Nolan, I love it when a plan comes together type of thing going on. And Heath Ledger, of course, was great. So I enjoyed it. And the parts that I didn't like the first time, I kind of thought it ran a bit long the first time I saw it. But this time I kind of got more of the arc with Harvey Dent and all that stuff. He could have had some more stuff to do, but I thought that, they wrapped it up pretty well. The only thing that struck me, and it's not really a criticism of the movie, this particular movie, it's more kind of a general thought about comic book movies, is that, when it comes to superheroes who wear masks with eye holes, it is tricky business. Mm. Like I have to say, the look of Batman in that movie was the only thing that did not seem to fit what Christopher Nolan was going for. Like, everything else looked like it could have existed in this world, but I don't know, that rigid rubber mask just kept yanking me out, so... I don't know. I'm not sure.
What plaguing the series from the very beginning, because Michael Keaton had the whole cowl that wouldn't move, so he couldn't turn his head sideways.
I mean, yeah, Batman Begins.
Spin his shoulders around.
Yeah.
Full torso.
I don't know. I mean, he seemed relatively mobile, but it's just that I don't know. It works so well on the page, but for some reason, it just does not translate to the screen as well as it should for being this kind of foreboding force that strikes fear into the hearts of criminals and stuff. I'd almost like to see what someone could do if they threw tradition to the wind and just came up with a version of Batman that was more based on the idea that he developed this look to kind of freak out criminals than to stay kind of slavishly true to the pointy ears thing. I don't know what that would look like, and it would probably make everyone mad, but I don't know. I wonder. I wonder these things.
Well, I think we're going to see that with Captain America, because they can't do the little, winged feathers on the...
Yeah. And Captain America is an interesting kind of counterpoint to my argument, because it seems like if you wear a mask with eye holes in a comic book and you can see the eyes, like Captain America, it looks okay. But anytime mostly in comic books, if you have eye holes, they're just white. Yeah. So whenever you show the eyes through the eye holes, it looks a little bit goofy. So it's tough. It's not easy.
Well, yeah, Tobey Maguire, you couldn't see his eyes through the Spider-Man.
Yeah, and I think that's why Spider-Man worked so well. And that's why Iron Man works well, too, because, again, no eyes through the eye holes. True. It's all about the eyes through the eye holes.
Sounds like it.
Anyway, that's what I was watching.
Oh, very good. Let's see. Johnson household, what's been going on? Well, I've been playing some Halo Reach, which is a very cinematic game. So that's a tie into that. But that's been a fun time. And then we've just been getting into it just released. So I've been watching some Fringe season 2, which is a show that I really got into and kind of pushed and trumpeted here. So we're about four episodes in, but it's very good. And really enjoying that still. Now, Mike Staley, did you ever watch Fringe? I can't remember if we've talked about Fringe.
I started with season one and made it about halfway through the season and lost interest.
Yeah, that seems to what happened to us too. But actually, probably picks up pretty quickly right after you stopped watching. But we're having a good time with that. And in between Fringe and I think we talked about this last week, but we actually did watch The Blind Side. It made it past the goalie. Yeah. It made it to the top of the queue. So it was perfectly serviceable for what it was. Just a feel-good movie. I mean, it just really worked fine as a feel-good movie. And if you like football, it adds a nice little dimension to that. So I enjoyed The Blind Side.
It sounds like you can check one more thing off your bucket list.
My bucket list. That's right. After The Blind Side and beyond that, I think it's been pretty quiet. My wife is watching Survivor as we speak. She's excited about that. And I don't know about any upcoming TV shows. I guess we could talk a little bit about TV shows since they're premiering pretty soon. I don't know if you guys have your eyes on anything. I got to say, not much really leaps out of me right now. I'm not sure if there's any new show. Maybe Hawaii 5-0. That kind of looks like it might be fun.
There's one show that I'm – well, there's a couple, but there's one that I'm looking forward to wholeheartedly, and that would be The Walking Dead.
Of course. Oh, yeah. AMC. That looks fantastic.
I know it starts a few weeks later than everything else, but
it's Halloween.
I mean, I know there's only six episodes planned right now.
Yeah, but like the first episode's feature length, I think. It's like
yeah,
a short thing.
But, so. You know, I think that's going to be I've said this a couple times before on this podcast, but that's going to be my 24. I think that's the show. It was V at some point.
Even though it's only six episodes, that's tough.
Even
though,
yeah,
it's like a mini-series is what that is. I mean,
it pretty much is, and odds are, you know, if it doesn't do well, you know, I could see that getting canceled right quick. But
I'm sure it'll be okay. I mean, the buzz around that thing has been enormous.
So, you know,
it's well done too.
It does, and so I'm looking forward to that, and I'm kind of looking forward – not looking forward to, but I'm going to watch Mike and Molly, if only because
Billy Graham, yourself some fat jokes.
Well, he's that main star is from Pittsburgh, and he's on the morning show that I listen to quite a bit. So
okay.
I'm going to give him a chance, you know.
A hometown discount, right?
Exactly. Pittsburgh connection there, so I'll watch it.
All right. How about you, Mike? Anything you're looking forward to coming up?
I don't know. NBC sent over a copy of The Event.
The Event. What is it?
I have not watched it yet. It's just sitting here. I need to take a look at that. That one's probably been the most hyped of NBC's.
Yeah, they have been hyping that thing. I mean, I think they – and their commercials are actually like name-dropping Lost too, I believe, right?
Oh, yeah. Lost,
oh, really?
24.
Oh, yeah. So
Nothing on their network, oddly enough.
Imagine that.
Yeah, wait a second.
No one's name dropping heroes these days.
That's right. except for way better than heroes.
Well, hopefully it's more of a Chuck level of quality than a heroes level of quality. I'm pretty interested in it, knowing almost nothing about it.
But other than that, I'm not really all that jazzed about the new season.
And Eric?
I mean, there's some returning stuff I'm interested in. Chuck, like I just said, was really good last season. I want to see what they do. Community, we talked about that last week. That's a show I really have been going back through and really love.
I've been reading some pretty harsh things about Outsourced, which is good because Parks and Rec come back sooner.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
That's the only reason I wanted to fail. Yes.
Show. you know, Modern Family. The shows that we watch, there's nothing really new that I've seen that really kind of grabs my attention. But, you know, I want to see where everything we've watched in the past picks up again.
Yeah.
So. You know, I don't have HBO, but I'm very interested in that Boardwalk Empire as well.
Oh, yeah.
If any of you caught that. But
yeah, it's a Martin Scorsese City Prohibition era.
Steve Buscemi is the, I think, the lead. So,
yeah.
And I know Bored to Death season 2 is kicking up on HBO as well. I reviewed the first season a couple weeks ago, and it was okay, but it shows promise. So maybe the second season will right the ship.
Now, one show that I had been looking forward to, although word of mouth is not great on it, but it's the new Mitch Hurwitz show with Will Arnett and Kerry Russell, Running Wild.
I've heard very bad things about
it. I know.
That's too bad.
You
know, I didn't know that was Mitch Hurwitz. I saw an ad in TV Guide, I think, today, and thought, even though that is Will Arnett in it, that looks kind of terrible.
Yeah, and it's Hurwitz, too. But there's been a stink that's been emanating from it. So that is unfortunate.
I think it's the pun in the title. That's the
maybe
the fact that he spells his last name as Wild with an E at the end.
I mean, I really have to say though, it really looks like the incoming crop could be apocalyptic in its crappiness. You know, just judging from scenes, stuff I've seen. Like, I mean, that Jimmy Smits lawyer show. Apparently it's awful, you know? Mm. It just doesn't make any sense. I heard the Shatner comedy isn't very good either.
Well, and it's interesting you say that because both Shatner and Running Wild are two shows that have reshot their pilots.
Ooh, bad sign, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so what you'll see is not the original pilot. The Shatner show supposedly is a touch better than what the original was, and Running Wild is not any better than what the original was.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Now, which the Shatner show is on CBS.
Yes, right? It's part of their Monday lineup that Chip might
have. Their Monday
says.
Lineup. Okay, yeah. You know, I'm kind of wondering how they would pronounce the name of the William Shatner show.
It's bleep. I hear it say it's bleep. That's what they say.
Okay.
Yeah, bleep, my dad says. That's what they say. So,
yeah.
Whatever.
I enjoy that Twitter feed. And I don't see reading that Twitter feed in seeing the previews for the show, I don't see how it can even compare. It just looks so cheesy on TV. So I don't know.
Well, and I think it was sold on the strength of Shatner himself.
Oh, really? See, he's not even like the person I pictured playing the dad when I read like the Twitter stuff. He's not sounded. There needs to be like Ed Asner or somebody in there playing the grumpy dad.
But I guess he had quite a following from Boston Legal.
He's got a great show on like some random cable network.
Yeah, he does. It's like a talk show.
It's a talk show. It's amazing. It's so good. It's like Shatner sits down. I don't remember what it's called. It's like Raw Nerve, I think it's called. Okay. And he just has a guest on, and they sit really, really close to each other on this like weird S-shaped couch, and they talk intimately for like 30 minutes, and that's it.
What Bob Costas used to do on – that was his late night show on NBC after The Tonight Show, right? Back in the day, back in the 80s,
yes,
around my dating
sure.
myself.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry, Mike. You didn't have your back there, I guess.
That's okay.
Well, I don't know. Does it look like a lot of the big performers are still going to be on like the cable networks, I'm wondering? You know, I mean, you got The Walking Dead going to make noise at the AMC. Yeah, I mean, FX, I'm continuing. I watched one episode. I was able to watch one episode of Sons of Anarchy, the first season, before we got Fringe coming in, and that really seemed pretty good. I mean, I heard that's a pretty cool show too. So I guess I like a lot of FX stuff, to tell you the truth. So I mean, is that where the sizzle is happening? You know, all right,
it seems that way.
Does seem that way. Well, let's move on to what we've been doing for this site, Mike. What have you been up to, reviewing wise?
I just turned in my review for Night of the Living Dead Reanimated, which is a collaborative art project where this guy got about 150 artists and they each did little pieces of animation over top of Night of the Living Dead, and then he put them all together and over top of the film. So it's like you're watching the movie, and every couple seconds it changes art styles as it's going. And it's a very, very interesting project. It's not very enjoyable if you've never seen the original Night of the Living Dead, but it is kind of cool and oddly academic when you listen to their commentaries and read about it and everything. So it's an interesting little side note, I guess, in the zombie universe.
Very good. Eric.
Since we are going away this weekend, I do not have anything new to talk about.
Okay. Concise.
So,
that's
thank you.
Very nice.
Do you want me to review not reviewing something? I can give you a no.
Well, guilty or not guilty. Just give me guilty or not guilty. How about that?
I'm feeling pretty guilty.
Okay. And the man you should feel guilty in front of, Mike Staley. Do I have any chance to paw through some of the products that end up on your doorstep?
Black Cauldron came in, which is one of three Disney movies from the 80s about that time that I was in high school and going to college that I absolutely had no interest in. So it was that and Great Mouse Detective and Oliver and Company or something. Anyways, I'm a huge Disney fan. I had not seen these films, and I was very interested to see Black Cauldron, and it's kind of a mess.
Oh, yeah?
It's not very good at all. Very derivative of the – there's elements of Lord of the Rings. There's elements of the Smurfs.
Yikes.
Yeah, it's – the story is all over the place. This is kind of when the company was really going down the tubes fast. It was the most expensive film, animated film, made at the time. It cost like $25 million. Took them 4 years to make it and didn't do very well at the box office at all. Never even made its money back, so – it's coming out with its 25th anniversary edition. I think it actually streamed this week, so I'll write that review up pretty quick.
Yeah, nice. That's too bad. I remember loving that movie as a kid, although I think it may have been only in theory, because I think I had the book. I don't know if I ever actually saw the movie, but I had the book adaptation. I don't know. I don't remember why I was so into the Black Cauldron, but I was, and I do not remember anything about it.
Yeah, and I don't want to pee on anyone's memories of fond memories of it being from a kid, but seeing it with fresh eyes for the first time, it's just in comparison to what else Disney did in the past and what, you know, they're doing themselves and with Pixar now, it doesn't even compare.
It's okay. Don't feel guilty about that. We encourage that. We encourage nostalgic urination. So. Well, the opposite end of Disney movies, I've been reviewing it, revisiting and enjoying and reviewing Spartacus, Blood and Sand, the stars season that actually turned into quite a little hit for them. And it's a show that I got sucked into. Netflix had it, so it was a rough start, very derivative of 300, but eventually kind of found its own way, dug its sandals in, and really delivered a cool, engrossing story arc, ladled with ridiculous over-the-top R-rated stuff, like crazy amounts of violence and the most colorful swearing you'll ever hear, I think. So, but it turned into a hit for them. And they were, I believe they renewed it for a second season.
They did.
Before the first season even, the first episode even aired of the first season. Yep. So I know that they got a prequel coming out for the show, but they had to take a break from season two because Andy Whitfield, who was a star, was diagnosed with the non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, I believe. Or as Larry David says, the good Hodgkin's, if I'm correct.
Sorry, why'd you make me laugh? Come on.
Sorry.
Make you laugh?
So anyway, he's doing fine. He's back, and they're going to film it again. So anyway, I mean, a cool show if you could stomach it. It's so over the top, though. It's hard to – I mean, the violence is like CGI with a little bit of practical, and it's more of a graphic novel, hyper-stylized approach than – you know, like Faces of Death or anything. So, but anyway, I liked the show a lot. It really drew me in and had one of the craziest season finales I've ever seen in any show. Just ridiculous season finale. So, and I guess I could talk about Strawberry Shortcake's Trip to Berrywood, but I won't talk about it. So, so let's move on to what's coming up. And then our partner in crime, Mac McIntyre, has the week off, so I'll guess I'll take over, unfortunately, because there's a Castle release here, which I'm sure you'd love to talk about. But we're going to look at the upcoming cover art gallery for September 21st, which is in upcoming DVD releases on DVDverdict.com. So, gentlemen, what do you see?
I'm still loading the page.
Okay. Well, that's not a comment on the servers that power DVD Verdict. That's a comment on Mike.
No, it's a comment on me. I wasn't ready.
Well, there's Community, the first season.
Oh, very nice. Not a Blu-ray release, right?
Nope. Not, you know, sadly, because it did air in high def, but there's a lot of really great features on this. They really kind of put a lot into it, and the episodes themselves are, of course, awesome. So even if you have a Blu-ray player, you can pick up the DVD version.
So here's a show that I had partial interest in. I heard it was a fun show. I never got into it. Never even watched a single episode. Human Target, the Fox show. So.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that's coming back. I don't know what the status is. I mean,
It is, okay. It is coming back, yeah. It's one of those shows where I watched, like, the first episode and was like, man, this is good old-fashioned 80s action show.
Yeah.
And then I never – and I started TiVoing it and just never watched it again.
So it just piled up on your TiVo and it became one of those –
It did, and then it just got deleted. Like, oh, we need room. Delete this. Yeah. So – I never, but you know, it's got renewed, and you know, each it seemed to have a lot of stunts, a lot of action to it, good sense of humor. So
yeah, that's what I heard. One of these days, maybe.
There's Bored to Death season one right above Community there, which is a funny show. At times, it's a funny show at times, but way too many pot jokes that aren't really jokes. Just like we're smoking pot now, and
Stop! You're killing me.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. It's such a great premise because it's like about a writer who reads detective novels and then thinks he can become a detective. But they just—it's like they're afraid to even run with it. They don't even want to embrace the concept. They just want to smoke pot.
So there's a show that I know you like too, Eric. How I Met Your Mother, season 5.
Yeah. You know, I can barely remember what happened at the end of that, but we'll.
Me neither. Me neither.
Well, what's frustrating me is, and I don't know what's going on with the distribution right now, but there's a lot of stuff on here that we haven't even gotten yet.
What's up?
I don't know.
Come on. No Human Target for DVD Verdict yet?
Not yet. The Mentalist hasn't come in yet.
Robin Hood.
Robin Hood just came in, so that'll be on the list this week.
Stomp the Yard Homecoming.
Oh,
that came in a couple of weeks ago, actually. See, it's all the good stuff that they get us really early. And then hold back all the really lousy stuff until the end.
Yeah. It's nice of them to curate for us.
Yeah.
You mean we didn't get the electric chair?
Nope, didn't get the electric chair. Didn't get Michael McDonald or Kenny G.
How about Strip Naked? Now She's Going to Blow You Away?
That review is actually going to post on Friday.
Awesome. Fantastic.
Yeah. Way to pay attention, Dave. I've been following that one pretty closely, so.
Apparently.
Didn't get The Hills season 6. The Criterion stuff has started to come in, though. We've gotten Charade on Blu-ray. As we're getting into now the holiday season, Criterion has a whole bunch of interesting stuff that's coming out. So,
yeah.
Hey, what about have any of you seen this film that's called Vigilante with Robert Forster and Fred Williamson? See it at the bottom.
We actually have that was posting on Friday too.
Yeah, that was on our last week's list. Yeah.
Kind of looks like The Warriors.
It kind of does.
I kind of want to rent that.
Another show there, Modern Family, obviously a pretty big hit.
Yep, that's
a really good show. Did you not like it, Dave? Or?
I do. I don't know why I don't watch it. My wife really likes it.
Okay.
So, and from what I have watched, I have laughed. So there's been some times where I haven't. Maybe it's just like a driven episode.
Are you sure? Was it a commercial? Maybe it was like the middle of the episode?
Maybe it was a commercial, yes. That would explain
why you did
all the Honda Accords driving on the scene over and over again.
Must not have been a Geico
part of the show.
Anybody familiar with Being Human, the BBC vampire drama?
Mike, I had DVR'd that entire first season.
Yeah.
And then never watch it, just wound up getting rid of it. But I guess it kind of developed a following, and they've just gone through season 2, and now they've started season 3, or they started production on season 3.
Pretty well received.
Yeah.
This is weird. There seems like there's a lot of releases this week, but nothing jumps out at me as...
Yeah. Well, right? And the other interesting thing is they've just... There's this big 3D summit that's going on here in town the next couple days that all the studios and distributors are getting together to talk about the power of 3D.
No, thank you. Not interested.
Yeah. Oh. Well,
I can't wear those glasses over my glasses, okay? Got to help me out here. It was incredibly uncomfortable.
They started to release these Blu-rays in 3D, or at least put them on the schedule, and then this week they have Ice Age 3D. Well, all of a sudden they're pulling the plug on these releases because – it doesn't look like many of the homes are going to be equipped with 3D televisions, nor will there be Blu-ray players out there with 3D capabilities. So there's no point in releasing this product if no one's going to have it.
I really don't think it'll catch on. I just cannot.
I don't think so either.
I think there's already a blowback against 3D movies.
But there's huge people behind, like Steven Spielberg, Bob Zemeckis. There's a whole bunch of really big people behind this push for 3D. And it's got a lot of traction, enough that they've got a 2-day conference going on to talk about it. But I'm with you. I think it's just another 1950s gimmick that, let's focus on story and character and, delivering good product as opposed to something that's going to, enhance your viewing pleasure or whatever. Just make good
shows. But it's not pleasureful. It's incredibly uncomfortable and awful. I did not enjoy it. And expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe if it wasn't such a money grab, it would...
Well, in an economy like this, who's going to go out and invest in a 3D television?
People are just getting around to getting their HDTVs, so.
All I know is this conference sounds awfully sinister.
Ooh. That sounds sinister.
It just sounds like an 80s movie, like action movie waiting to happen.
Maybe NASA's.
This is 3D, the 3D glasses are mind controlling or something.
NASA is behind this whole thing, for sure. Oh, bastards. I hate NASA. All right. Well, let's move on, I guess. Inadvertently sleazy-sounding DVD release of the week. Mike Staley, why don't you go first?
Festival of Fright.
Okay. Sounds hot. Mike Rubino.
Clang the Game.
Eric.
Little Big Men.
So that's not bad at all.
I'm changing mine to Watermelon Slim.
That's good. I saw that too. I'll go I'm going to go with Vertical Step 2 Party. Or Vertical Step Part 2, yeah.
It's like there's an X after the vertical. Vertical X Step Party 2.
Looks red hot with Katrina Linter. Red hot. Almost as hot as Leon Bloom. Okay, never mind. Moving along. Ambush topics, and you know how this works. We'll just throw random topics at each other and just see what happens. I'll go first because mine's pretty lame. So disgusting stews and or soups.
Oh, my God. Well, there's that scene from Temple of Doom with the eyeballs.
There you go. That's not very well played. Awesome. The eyeball tomato soup.
Yeah.
I thought the tomato soup looked pretty good, actually. I mean, the eyeball, not so much, but I like tomato soup, so that looked good to me.
I wish I could come up with actual things instead of vague recollections from my childhood.
I gotta do it.
The tough thing is I remember this movie where there's a pot or a cauldron. It's not the black cauldron, but and someone goes in and tastes what's in it, and it's like, oh, the soup is terrible, and it turns out it's the laundry. What is that?
What? Oh,
I don't know.
But that was my laundry.
I do know what you're talking about, but okay. I have a vague recollection of it as well.
Yeah.
So do two vague recollections equal to a successful ambush topic? Yes, they do.
My answer is also a vague recollection, which is I think it happened in a Mel Brooks movie.
Oh,
there's like I want to say Men in Tights, but I feel like that's wrong.
Blazing Saddles?
Maybe it's – no, I think it's Men in Tights when there's like a witch who's making soup.
Well, if it's a Robin Hood knockoff, there's probably a witch in Men in Tights. So
yeah.
So you're probably right.
Unless I'm thinking of – there wasn't a soup in The Princess Bride, right? When like
– I was thinking of that.
Billy, right.
Billy Crystal's character.
I think so. I think they make up a little disgusting soup. Yeah.
All right. So combine that. Mel Brooks is in that movie too, right? So
that'll work. Yeah.
Sure.
Well, I'll give you two possibilities. One was The Neverending Story. Remember, it's the she whips up some disgusting soup for Atreyu. You know, the little witch lady when the luck dragon, they land and right near the gates. So that was a pretty disgusting soup. But the most disgusting stew I submit is in Conan the Barbarian during the orgy scene where they're just stirring this giant cauldron of like Nickelodeon green slime and there's arms and heads in it. So
that's bad.
That was a disgusting stew. I'm just a Arrested Development flashback. Carl Weathers wanted to make a stew, right? Just me in that boat. Speaking of which, you seen the Carl Weathers commercials? He's got like football commercials or something.
I did.
Yeah, good to see him.
I was somewhere and like the commercial came on and the reaction was that Carl Weathers?
You know, I have to say, again, digressions, Arrested Development, Carl Weathers digression, but there's a good chance that some of the funniest stuff uttered on that show may have been uttered by Carl Weathers.
Yeah,
well, he did a guest episode on Psych the first half of this season, and it was very funny there too.
He was just bringing the funny on that. Do you love ham? Do you like ham? No, I love it. I buy all my cars at police auction. Okay. Eric, why don't you go next?
All right. Extreme deforestation.
Oh, good. I got it for you. And this is a vague recollection, but I know what happened. So I remember watching a story of Paul Bunyan. Kindergarten, maybe, or first grade. And Paul Bunyan was, you know, this beloved lumberjack. He was matched up. It was an animated cartoon. He was matched up against the guy with a newfangled chainsaw.
Yep.
And they were going to have a showdown to see who could, like, cut the most trees. So see who could commit the most widespread, like, pointless deforestation. So this wasn't like – they were, like, clearing room for houses or something. They were just, you know, just scorched earth tactics here. And
that was a Disney short film, I think.
Was it?
Yeah, I think so.
I just had that. You know how this those images stick with your mind? They just like stick there for some reason. So I just had the memory of like this guy with the chainsaw going crazy, chopping down all these trees, and Paul Bunyan just swinging his axe, taking out 20 trees at a time or so, and yet he still lost somehow. It was like he lost by like a quarter inch or something, and that's why all the lumberjacks started using chainsaws. But I mean, they did some damage.
I'm gonna go with. There was some, I'd say there was some deforestation, but they stopped most of it in Fern Gully, the cartoon about pixies living in the forest, stopping deforestation.
Was that the, was that what Avatar was compared to as well, Fern Gully?
Yes, yeah, it's, lots of people, myself included, compared it to that, yeah. But, Fern Gully is sort of this, like, Enviro cartoon for kids in the mid-90s, I guess, about like evil people trying to chop down trees and the gods of the forest stopping them with their pixies.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Wow, that's very, very reminiscent. Very good.
I seem to remember the toys at Burger King or something.
Oh, yeah.
I never saw it, but.
For sure.
It's kind of in the Land Before Time era.
Yeah, pretty much.
Not dinosaur time, but I mean the time when they made those movies.
Yeah, but dinosaurs didn't have talking pictures back then.
Talkies, they called them.
Talkies. Oh. All right, Michael, you have any deforestation?
There was, and I'm trying to look up which season it was, the South Park kids went on a field trip to like the Brazilian rainforest, and Jennifer Aniston was like the guest. She was like their guide. She was... We're trying to save this indigenous species called the Yanagapa or something before they came through and destroyed their rainforest.
Oh, I don't recall that one, though. Sounds like
I think it was season three. Should. But it was another one of those classic Cartman where, they're in South America and he's trying to talk to them in Spanish saying, Necesito burrito. So hungry. Tacos.
Nice. Well, I feel like I've seen it already, so very good. All right, Eric, what is it?
All right. Well, this is topic is inspired by Predator, the scene when Jesse Ventura gets killed, and then his buddy comes and finds him, and he just starts opening fire on the forest, and everyone else joins, and they don't ask any question.
That's true. That's
they just start shooting, and trees are getting blown to pieces. I think they cleared. I think they're probably responsible for at least part of the depletion of the ozone layer. I'm not sure, but. Man, they cleared those trees. And no one asked any – he's like, hey, he's shooting? Let's shoot. Like, I'm not sure. I don't know how someone did not die in that. But
all right. Mr. Staley, what do you got?
Since we were talking about television, take a classic TV series from, like, the 70s or 80s and recast it as a kind of a cable show. So kind of reboot it as something that would show up on Showtime or HBO.
Okay, I'm gonna go with Perfect Strangers. even though I've seen him, primarily in a comic role on Community, I think Danny Pudi, who plays Abed, would be a good Balki. And he can play serious. He's taken on some serious or pretended to be serious people on Community. I think it would be the story of really the struggles of this guy from Meepos trying to figure things out in Chicago, and his cousin, who really doesn't know him. Having to deal with putting up with this guy, and
who probably, plays the cousin?
See, Cousin Larry, probably. I'm totally Kevin. No, what's the guy's name? He was on West Wing. What's his name? He was on Studio 60.
Matthew? No, not Matthew Perry.
No. He was the other, the not Matthew Perry guy.
The guy who plays a White
Bradley
House staffer.
Bradley. Yeah,
that's it. He's on the good guys now. Yeah.
There you go.
He's like a White House staffer in like every 90s political movie.
Yeah, so maybe the new Perfect Strangers takes place in Washington instead of Chicago, and that's why they can they can work that in, and maybe there's some terrorist stuff that goes in there too. I don't know, but I mean I think it could really be, and there'd be gratuitous scenes of them banging the stewardesses next door.
Oh man, oh, that's good. That's just that, and I was that. That's what that show needed. I always remember that.
Because they hinted at it, but they never
did. Oh, that's
it.
True. They always.
I mean, come on. What do you think a Bibby Bobka is?
I'd like to see an ultra violent version of Airwolf.
Oh, nice.
Airwolf unchained, unfettered by broadcast TV rules and regulations. So, since Stars seems to just say more violent and merrier on our shows, let's have Stars pick up Airwolf.
So who would play the Jan Michael Vincent role?
That's a great question. Who would play the Jan Michael Vincent role? How about like Randy Couture, you know, from The Expendables? Maybe a cast of, yeah, like all MMA guys or something. Who would play the Ernest Borgnine characters? A real question.
Stacey Keach.
Stacey Keach. Excellent call. Excellent call. Yeah. So yeah. So Randy Couture is on the pier there playing the cello. Just jumps in the Airwolf and just mows down communists when need be. So I'd like to see that. We'll call it, let's see, Airwolf, colon, what are wolves known for? Their teeth?
Howling.
Howling is good, yeah.
I don't know, you're kind of straying into True Blood territory now.
Oh, that's true. Hey, that's good what wolves are known for, right?
Straying? How about blood on the sand?
Blood. Instead of blood in sand, blood on the sand.
I was actually going for that. How about blood on the rotors?
That's good. So yeah, I like that. Airwolf, blood on the rotors.
I'm trying to not pick my normal cachet of 80s action shows that I always talk about. Why not the Night Gallery?
Ooh, you know, horror anthology.
Why not? Yeah, why? There aren't any horror anthologies anymore. At least any good ones. And, you know, the Night Gallery, I thought, had a lot of potential back in the day. Not that I was alive back in the day, but I remember watching reruns. And, you know, it was cool. It was scary. It was scarier than Twilight Zone. It was more of like a horror macabre type of show. And Rod Serling had those outrageous mutton chops. but, you know, so I could see it on like HBO and getting some, you know, big name directors to show up once in a while. And like John Carpenter and Wes Craven and those dudes, you know, and just making it a good old fashioned, like, you know, because it'd be on HBO, there'd be a lot of violence, there'd be a lot of nudity and language and that sort of thing. But I would also like to think that it'd be it'd be classy, like Boardwalk Empire is, I assume, classy, or The Sopranos was kind of classy.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, there cannot be enough anthology shows like that. I love that. Even though it's so hit or miss with those, I mean, there's so many. I think there are probably more bad episodes of any given anthology show than there are good ones. Like, I remember.
The thing is, you don't really hear about the bad anthology show. Like you hear about Twilight Zone or Outer Limits.
Sure, sure. I guess aside from the classics. But.
Right. But it's like. At the same time those were happening, there was like Kraft Mystery Theater. And,
yeah. You know. I'm thinking more like NBC did Fear Itself and TNT did the Nightmares and Dreamscapes, the Stephen King one. And those are pretty hit or miss. I mean, I watched them all because I love that stuff. But
they tried to do a Robert Englund thing on NBC. It was called Nightmare Cafe or something like that. It lasted maybe a half a dozen episodes.
Yeah, I love that stuff. Tales from the Dark Side.
I think the big thing is they need to have key sponsors picking up these shows like they used to back in the day with like Kraft and General Election. Like we don't have General Electric isn't throwing their money into TV anymore. They need to like General Electric Mystery Hour, you know, or we need to get like the Select Comfort Sleep Number Bed horror anthology.
Yeah, it might skew a bit more tech these days. So it'd be GoDaddy's Horror House of Scares.
That's true. Garmin's Wrong Way Theater.
And you win.
Well, okay. I was thinking, you know, All in the Family was kind of the racial, ethno desensitizing show, you know, making fun of their neighbors were the Jeffersons, so they'd have all these African American issues, and, you know, they'd have different ethnic groups come in and kind of play off of this American bigotry and make it funny and kind of desensitize it and educate at the same time. So we could do that today where we'd have like a Palestinian family and there'd be like an Israeli family that lives next door and an Indian family from Mumbai on the other side. And they could have, was the news out of Mumbai that there's this new disease that's resistant to all antibiotics, this super germ or something. So they can, you know, make fun of that. And
which, that's a ripe comic. That's
of course.
Gold.
So everything, you know, the mosque and at Ground Zero, anything that is racially sensitive, they could just completely parody and satire.
Well, you know, what would your cast be?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, we'd have to...
A lot of unknowns, probably.
Yeah, right.
Real people don't tell them it's actually a show.
But it's something that TV doesn't have right now. I mean, we do it in a periphery, but it's not something... There isn't somebody out there doing hard-biting, you know, topical commentary.
You're forgetting... See, now back in the 70s, Saturday Night Live had the Bell Arabs.
Well, I don't remember that.
You remember? That was like, it was like Beverly Hills, you know, the Beverly Hillbillies with Arabs. It was really, really offensive. But they could be offensive back then. And it didn't matter because it was the 70s. And
that's right.
No one could pay for gas.
All right, Mike Rubino, take us away.
All right. This should be a softball one. He or she is older than that. So somebody playing somebody way far younger than what they really would be in the film.
Any show set in high school. Like those, Veronica Mars wasn't half the cast older than high school kids. Smallville. I mean, Tom Welling's got to be, what, 35 now?
He's an AARP spokesman. Save by the Bell, though. Everyone was about the right age. So, they, you know, what you saw is what it was. They were actually high school age. So, got to give it up for Save by the Bell. Of course, that's the only thing partially realistic about their high school adventures, but whatever. Well, first thing that came to my mind was Harrison Ford is Sean Connery's son in Last Crusade. Aren't they like 8 years apart or something like that?
Oh, are they? I know they played that off pretty well.
Yeah, they did. It worked out well, but I know it's like a minuscule age difference between the two.
Wow. According to the internet, Michael J. Fox was 29 when he played Marty McFly.
Really?
Oh, wow.
No, really?
That's what the internet says.
I'm stunned.
I gotta double check that. Let me check that at a reputable website.
This is a reverse one, but I think Willow. Yeah. Warwick Davis is like only 17 when he played Willow, who was supposed to be a married father of two.
Yeah, nice.
But that turned your ambush topic on its head. So
it turned me on my head.
It did.
What happened to his TV series? Isn't Ricky Gervais?
Oh, that's right.
A TV series for him?
Yeah. That's what I heard. I haven't heard anything about it, though, since.
Okay. You should give him a call, Dave.
I should. Yeah, get him on the horn.
Yeah, got his number. I mean, you get him to, like, do the introduction for this podcast every single week. I don't know how you get him to read it exactly the same way every time, but he's a pro.
He's a pro. Oh,
and apparently Michael J. Fox was 29 when he did Back to the Future 3. He was born in 61, so he was still... 25.
He's older than me.
That's good. I mean, yep. Does that feel good?
Yes. No. When you guys remember a Bob Costa show, yes, I feel.
I remember. Yeah. No, you got Mike Rubino talking about how he, you know, watched some show. He wasn't around when some show you watched all the time. Like Night Gallery. I heard about that. That's the Tall Tales class. Ancient history.
All right, does everyone go?
I think so. Go ahead.
Okay. My answer sort of debunked a little bit, but I'm going to go with Drew Barrymore. And I went and saw Going the Distance, that new movie that she's in.
Yeah, with Justin Long.
Yeah. And in the movie, she was like, I'm 31. And I was sitting there thinking, there's no way she's 31. Okay, technically she's 35, but she looks a lot older. I mean,
lived a hard life, man.
Yeah, come on now.
I was sitting there thinking, like, she's got to be like 40.
She went to rehab
times before she was 12.
Yeah, well, I guess so. I guess you got it when you go through that kind of stuff. I mean, she was good in it, but I was just like, there's no way she's 31. Yeah, she's not. I mean, my answer still holds up. But
that's true. And actually, something else popped in my mind for some reason. I don't know why, but we just talked about this on a previous podcast we recorded, Mike, on Objection. We're talking about Roger Moore. So when he did A View to a Kill, I think he was like 62 or something.
Oh, yeah, and he was showing it there.
He was showing it.
Oh,
although
my God.
I meant not to believe it was that gross. So.
Same with Connery and Never Say Never Again.
That was brutal.
Yeah, that was bad. Even Diamonds Are Forever, he was showing it.
Oh, I love picking on celebrities. That's so great. Well, that should take us to this.
It all comes back to the elderly.
Like, it does. It all comes back to the elderly. That takes us to the end of this Friday filibuster. Actually, before we go, I just remembered something that I wanted to bring up at the show, that there is a double feature Blu-ray of two Van Damme movies, Bloodsport and Time Cop. So I am wondering, is a Sudden Death double feature Blu-ray on the way? Is that possible?
I know. I talked to our Universal rep, remember?
That's right, Mike.
Commentary. I got a
whole offer. Yeah, that's right.
Gave her the idea.
Don't think I haven't thought about it every day. So,
Mike, you know, we have a lot of exciting stuff going on in your life right now. You're achieving a lot of your dreams. But yes. Where would that rank, delivering a commentary on the sponsored edition of Sudden Death?
I would be able to stop. Just stop. Everything? I'd be able to stop everything. I'd retire.
You would retire from life. Okay.
Like, well, I'm 25. Time to call it in.
Now, would doing that be more or less exciting than if tomorrow night Rush announced on stage that Sudden Death was coming to Blu-ray?
I think Mike's head would explode.
Possibly during a Neil Peart drum solo.
Yeah.
Neil Peart, in his infinite drumming abilities,
that's right.
And then, able to kind of use Morse code to.
We got some big news for you guys.
And then, like, the big TV screens behind him. Like, Jean-Claude Van Damme comes on the screen. Yeah. And he just does the I love you to me in the audience.
Oh, that'd be awesome. That would be the greatest night of your life, I would say.
That would be the greatest.
Oh, man. Well, on that hopeful, optimistic tone, I think we'll end this edition of the Friday Filibuster. Thank you to Mike and Eric. Friday Filibuster, DVDverdict.com is our website, is our email address, rather. Check us out on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Friday Filibuster, and stay tuned as DVD Verdict does a extreme makeover, and it will look pretty fab. Pretty fab. That's what people say, right? Fab.
Sure.
So
I think it's pronounced Favre.
Favre. It'll look Favre. So thanks a lot and have a great weekend.
We are lost and very hungry. Necesito burritos. We'll be right back.